Welcome to this talk. It's called A Well-Ordered Life, Finding the Good, the True, and the Beautiful Amidst the Laundry. So what has laundry got to do with a rich homeschooling life? And the answer to that, I think, is that order changes everything. So order in the laundry room, order in the kitchen, the activities that we choose to do with our family, and absolutely order makes a difference in our hearts. So order helps our mood, and therefore helps our productivity. So the question is then, how do we get order when we're so busy raising children? Because many of us don't come into this world, certainly the world of parenthood, really knowing or experiencing order. And then if you do, you have children and all that becomes quite disrupted because we are never quite prepared for the disorder that's going to happen in family life. So you may not believe this, but I'm actually going to talk about laundry. This is not a metaphorical talk, and I'll tell you why. I've been a speaker in the homeschool world for a long time, and any meetings I ever went to, any talks I ever gave, often ended with this question, but what about the laundry? Followed by this solemn silence. So what is it, you know, what is it about the laundry that's so important? Okay, so two things. What is it about the laundry that's so important, and why am I using that as the jumping off place for how we gain order? Laundry is important because the question, where are my socks? When you're trying to get out the door, when you're trying to get to an appointment, you're trying to get to a lesson, can throw the whole day off, okay? This is something that we, most of us have experienced, you know, sometimes several times a week, that somebody says, where are my socks, or where's my shirt, or where's my jacket, and they can't find it. And you start to ramp up because you think, okay, this is the kid who's not going to be okay with mismatched socks or wearing their sibling's socks or the wrong jacket. This is not the kid who's going to do that. And so we start to get wound up and we think, where is it? Where is it? And the child is getting ramped up because they sense us getting ramped up. And ultimately, getting out the door becomes more important than the relationship with the child. And so if we can avoid those situations where we're starting to panic, the child's starting to panic, that's one of the ways that we can manage our environment, okay? On my podcast, you'll hear me talk a lot about managing the environment. We can manage people's emotions. We can help them through their emotions. But a lot of avoiding daily crises is managing our environment, and there's many things that we can do. So this is kind of my story on how that all happened for me. So I'll be really honest with you. I have really struggled over the years with order. It was not something I was naturally inclined toward. And also, I came into the world with the disadvantage of being raised by pack rats. My parents were wonderful people, so that was an advantage. But they were both pack rats, and we lived a very cluttered life. And so I really had zero formation on how to get rid of things, on how to streamline my life, because I had been raised in this environment of clutter. So I get married, I have a couple of children, and suddenly clutter is ruining my life, essentially. So I spent a few years trying to figure out how a person learns how to declutter, how you learn how to streamline. And these were questions that I really had no answers for. And so I started going to the library and looking for books on cleaning and housekeeping and keeping order. And I will discuss a couple of books at the end of this that were really helpful to me, but I just want to share the process that I went through with you. So how do we do this with small children in tow? Well, I had an idea. I looked around me and I looked at my environment, and the laundry was completely not working. It was ruining my life. But the kitchen ran relatively smoothly. So why was that? Why was the kitchen running smoothly? And I thought, okay, well, in the kitchen, we clean and we prepare and we eat and we serve and we tidy up. And we store all of the things we need for those activities in one relatively small area, okay, in our kitchen. And even if we have a dining room that's outside of our kitchen, it's usually the room right next to the kitchen. We don't cart our food and our plates upstairs, say, and have a dining room on some other floor. This is not true with laundry, right? Laundry gets carted all over the house. Now, some of it requires being in other rooms, linens in bedrooms and towels in bathrooms and that sort of thing. But, you know, can we minimize how much gets carted around the house, and can the storing and the clearing and the cleaning and the processing of these things, of our laundry items, happen in one centralized area? So that's the idea that started bubbling around in my brain. So where do I go with this? You know, I just thought about it for a while, and then I by the time I had sort of our fourth child, I was, you know, pretty much laundry was just becoming an epic ordeal. And so I brought this idea up with my husband. Okay, what can we do? Can we take our laundry machines, our washer and our dryer, our change table, our storage cupboards, baskets for boots and shoes or whatever, can we take all of those things and store them in one central area? It would have to be fairly big. My husband was skeptical, but he was willing to give this a try. So God bless him. And we'd converted a bedroom into our laundry room. So that's exactly what we did. We put in our washer and dryer. We put in a change table. We put in some storage cupboards. The room already had a decent sized walk-in closet. We put two tables down the middle, end to end, down the middle of the room, on which laundry could come out of the dryer and be laid so it didn't wrinkle on the table. And then there was baskets underneath these tables that housed things like pajamas and clothes that had just gotten too small for somebody. And so it was a thing of beauty. We got it completed. It took us a couple of months, and it was perfect. It was exactly what I had in mind. And I thought, okay, wow, okay, now comes the moment when we bring all of our stuff into this room. So we gathered all the clothes from all the different rooms, all the laundry from all the different rooms, brought it into this one room, and I am not kidding, it was nothing short of spectacular, because you don't really realize how much laundry you own until you bring it all and put it into one place. And it was obvious from the mounds of clothing that there was no way this room could house everything. But what was more remarkable was the fact that we simply had so many clothes, right? So many clothes. And so I had another idea. So before I share that idea with you, I'll just talk to you about where the analogy between kitchen and laundry really falls apart here. So dishes and cooking pots and food boxes are not malleable. The size of them are not malleable. Neither is cupboard space. It's not malleable. There are tangible limitations to the amount of plates that we have. You know, it would be inconceivable to own, you know, say if 100 plates. You might own more than you need. You might own 20 when you only technically need six, you know, but you're going to get a backup of dishes if you use all 20 instead of doing the dishes, but you're going to max out at 20. If you had 100, you might have days where you max out at 100 plates because the dishes get left. Oh, I've got more, so I don't need to do those dishes right now. And then you get backed up and overwhelmed, right? Laundry, on the other hand, is malleable. And so we could virtually have infinite space for laundry, okay? Over chairs, over stair railings, on the floor, heaped in baskets in the basement, in the dresser, on the top of the dresser, on the top of the open closet door, in the bottom of the closet, on hangers in your closet, on the back seat of your car, stuffed in the bottom of a stroller, hung up on hooks in your mudroom. There's almost endless amount of space for the malleable laundry that we're dealing with. And so this becomes a stuff problem. Now there's just too much stuff. So how do we deal with that? So I presented my new idea to my husband, who was also, again, skeptical, but willing to give it a try. So my kids are pretty young, between about sort of, you know, baby and 10. And so I still had a fair bit of input on what they wore. So I presented this idea to my husband that we could limit the amount of clothes that we owned. So say, for example, we could have six pairs of shirts, two pairs of pants, a couple of dresses for the girls, two pairs of shorts, six each of socks and undies. And my husband said, that can't work. You wear the same amount of clothes every day. You do the same amount of laundry, whether you own six shirts or 20. And it's a valid point, but he was willing to try and just see what happened. What I think happens when we have, you know, say 20 t-shirts for our children and 10 or 12 pairs of pants is laundry falls to the bottom of the importance list. Okay. Because there's just more. So when there's all these pressing things that we have to do as parents, that laundry falls because, okay, well, they've got a few clean shirts left. They've got a couple of clean pairs of pants left. Or I can just, you know, take these pants that are kind of clean and we can reuse those. So the necessity for laundry becomes lessened by the fact that we just have so much to draw on, to draw from. And I think that because of the finite nature of our kitchen tools and storage, we don't have this sort of Mary Poppins style of operating that we can work with. We have to, after we've used all the plates we have to clean them. And so we tend to make it more important. We do it every day or every couple of days. You know, sometimes we fall behind, but you can't just keep pulling, you know, dozens of dishes out of the bottom of the closet, right? Where you can with your laundry. So we decided what we would do is not get rid of clothes, but we would put it away. So that was how I convinced my husband that we could try this. So we gathered up the excess clothes. We decided on an amount that each of our kids and ourselves would have: 6 shirts, a couple of pairs of pants, a couple of dresses, you know, 6 or 7 pairs of socks and underwear, that this is what we were going to work with, and we would just put the rest away. And this unbelievable thing happened was that I was always caught up on laundry, because I knew that they didn't have very many things to choose from. And so when the laundry basket was full, which was, you know, essentially every day, I did a load of laundry in the morning. I took it out in the afternoon, I folded it and put it away. And it was life-changing because there wasn't this constant draw of laundry, and there wasn't this constant feeling of being completely overwhelmed by the 3 or 4 loads. If you get backed up by, you know, 3 or 4 loads, you could spend your entire day doing laundry. So I think that we just get overwhelmed. And so when we create an environment where we have less laundry, laundry becomes a method of self-care. If we have less time we have to spend on the laundry, we have more time for fun or more time for doing the things that we really want to be doing, which is probably not laundry. So my own journey started with the laundry. And the process that I went through was, first of all, this process of assessment. What is going on here? Why is this working? Why does this area work and this area doesn't work? Then decluttering. That was a vital part of the program. You can't maintain order with a lot of clutter. That becomes an impossible task and overworking of ourselves. So I learned how to assess. I learned how to declutter. I learned how to maintain order. And most importantly, then once I was down to this manageable amount of laundry and the areas that flowed out into my other areas of my life, I was able to develop routines that made me be able to stay on top of things much more easily. And getting behind was just never the same kind of problem that it was. So all change, we all have areas of our life that we want to smooth out. And all change then really starts with examining our lives, right? And it's important to examine our lives regularly. So say, for example, something like our activities. 1 activity is fun, 2 activities might be fun, even 3 activities during the week that you go out for might be fun. But at some point, a certain amount of activities is going to tip the scales, right? Where nothing's fun anymore because our house is falling apart, the kids don't know what to do in their home because we're out too much, we're never getting any schoolwork done, and our life kind of feels like it's exploding, imploding, and we can't really get anything done. And the things that were so fun that we signed up for aren't actually any fun anymore because life isn't ordered, right? Life isn't well ordered. So this goes for everything. It goes for our laundry room. It goes for our activities. It goes for our relationships. Okay. What's wrong with this relationship right now? I need to examine this. I need to think about it. And I need to, in a sense, declutter the relationship. Okay, what's going on in our lives that are making it difficult for me to understand or be empathetic with this person in my life? you know, what are the ways that I can find more time to spend with this person so that we're talking through, you know, the issues that are coming up? What can I do to develop a routine of filling this person's tank, right? So that we don't get to this place where we've ended up right now. I don't know how that happened. So we have to start with examining our life. And this is one of the ways that we avoid chaos in our life. Chaos is one of the major factors in undermining our ability to be kind. Chaos undermines kindness. So this is how I learned to gain some order over my life. And I started, once I got the laundry under control, I started realizing that I could apply the same principles to other areas of my life. One of the really beautiful things about order is that when something's well ordered, we tend to want to keep it that way. Okay. And I'll just sort of use the analogy of when you probably remember when you were a kid, is that if you tidied up your room really well, or your mom helped you tidy up your room really well, it took quite a long time for it to get back to that place of disorder again, you know, because you tend to right off the hopper, you want to put things back where they belong because it looks nice, right? It's ordered. You're not tripping over anything. You know where to find stuff. And so you have a tendency to want to do that. Over time, it will revert back to chaos unless you develop a really clear routine. So it's one of the beautiful parts of order is that we tend to want to keep it that way, right? And training ourselves to achieve it and training ourselves and our families to be orderly, to proceed with order, to put things away after they've used them, that spills over into other areas of our life. So it might start with the laundry, but it's going to spill over into other areas of our life, which is it's a really beautiful process to see. And everybody appreciates being able to find their stuff, right? But it always starts with us. So for me, from the laundry, that's how I learned the processes that are going to moving me towards order and away from chaos, when I recognize that chaos is the thing that really undermines kindness. So a couple of books that I came across, this was after my laundry success, and as I was still trying to pursue this idea of living a less cluttered life, a more simplified life. The first book that I came across is called Sink Reflections by Marla Silly. It's a wonderful book. Some of you might know her as Fly Lady. There's also a website that you can sign up for. I didn't care for the website. I found it contradictory to order and peacefulness, whereas the book was very ordered and peaceful and helped me to establish the routines that I wanted to establish in my life to make it smooth. And of course, like anything, it's a resource, like the curriculum with your children. Don't let it own you. Take the ideas and apply them to your life in the best way that you can. A few years ago, so that was a long time ago, probably 25 years ago. A few years ago, another book, Marie Kondo's book, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. One of my daughters started using it for her own life, and I just saw this remarkable change in her going through her things and minimizing what she owned. Marie Kondo's book is perhaps less accessible for moms because we're busy with our kids, and it's more of a take big chunks of time off and do this major thing. Whereas Fly Lady is more learning how to manage your household bit by bit, right? Master one little thing and go on to the next thing. However, I think that there are things in Marie Kondo's book that are incredibly helpful in terms of what you own and how to determine what you get rid of and what you keep. One of the lines that really struck me from Sink Reflections was, she said, when you're struggling with whether or not to get rid of something because you maybe you need it as a backup, maybe it was sentimental to you, maybe it was you're hanging on to it for some reason that you may not even really understand why you want to hang on to this thing that you don't use and you don't appreciate, it's not really adding anything to your life. One of the lines that she used was, let it go so it can bless someone else. Right. And that was a line that really made all the difference to me, because instead of thinking, I gotta keep this thing because it's useful. I'm not using it, but it's useful and therefore shouldn't be you know, donate it. But if I could think, okay, well, somebody else is going to get use out of it, that made all the difference, right? And Marie Kondo shares a similar message in her book. So I would encourage you to just read those books. You don't even have to implement them right away, but read them as part of the process of examination, of discernment, of trying to assess what it is about your life that may or may not be working, what areas are working well and what areas are not. So I hope that you have enjoyed this conference and continue to enjoy the talks therein, and I wish you well on your journey.